Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yo, 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 yo. The NFL never stops, man. It never stops, Elijah. You are now tuned in to Talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We got Elijah Campbell making this thing happen. I tell you what, above all else, we got the Titans making things happen. Huge, huge news from Diana Russini and Adam Schefter. Julio Jones will be released by the Titans. That is a move that just, wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's all I can say is wow. And I guess we'll get into it. So the move will be a post-June 1st designation, which means that they'll save $9.5 million in cap space. What does that mean for you, Titans fans? Well, it means that they will still have to make some adjustments if they plan to be active in free agency. I don't know that it's going to be a whole lot going on. Allen Robinson, I heard Steve Smith Sr. on NFL Network say Allen Robinson would be a great compliment to the Titans, and he's right. But the deal that would require bringing in Allen Robinson would be quite expensive. And then you got A.J. Brown that you got to deal with next year. So that's going to be something interesting. A few other options that you could look at would include Juju Smith-Schuster, Jarvis Landry. But Landry, you know, in leaving the Dolphins, he said he and Ryan Tannehill didn't have the best relationship, and that's why he never heard from Ryan Tannehill when he was traded to the Browns. There's a lot that could happen there, but I think when you look at this roster now, Elijah, only two wide receivers on the Titans roster have 10 or more catches. So they absolutely have a lot of work to do. The mantra is to be great around Ryan Tannehill. I don't know that this is a move in the right direction to be great around Tannehill if this is an isolated move. Now, if they turn around and they sign another guy at a more feasible price and bring him in to complement A.J. Brown, now you're still looking at it. This is kind of – I tell you what, I remember around this time last year, you know, entering free agency, one of the guys I said the Titans would do really well to sign was Marvin Jones. And it would have been a lot less. Now, hindsight's always 20/20. I was on board with trading for Julio Jones. I thought that was a good move. I felt that he could turn things around. Hey, I admittedly was incorrect there. But Marvin Jones would have been probably a better, more feasible type of deal. But, hey, I mean, if you're going to swing for the fences. And that's what they did. Sometimes you strike out. I don't really critique John Robinson too much for this deal. I mean, it is a move that he tried to make. And, you know, to make this team better. And it just so happened that it didn't exactly work. And you can't really predict injuries. There's a more likelihood for them to happen, which is what we saw with Julio Jones this past year. Man, the deal is just, wow. It's now you're out of a second-round pick. And, you know, the $9.5 million post-June 1st. So that's going to be able to give them a little more cash to – sign the rookie class. That's something that they'll be able to do. That usually takes between $5 and $7 million, especially looking at where the Titans will pick towards the back end of the draft. So, yeah, it gives them some space. But if they make a move, they're going to have to tweak some deals. Taylor Lewan, Derrick Henry, Byard has said he would take a pay cut for Harold Landry. I'm sure that, you know, these guys would be, well, not pay cut. Let me get that correct. An adjustment. You know, whereas they'll have their money pushed forward. That gets me into the salary cap, which is just, look, you have people who say it's obsolete. You have people who say it's the end-all, be-all. I kind of fall in between where I have it where, you know, the salary cap is something that's a guideline. And I think it gives you a reason to get rid of a player, you know, if you don't want to pay him the money, a la Cowboys and Amari Cooper. It also gives you, like I said, a guideline that you know, can manipulate things. And it's just like any other system, you could freak the system. And GMs have caught on to ways to do that, along with cap people within the building. And that's how, you know, teams like the Chiefs, the Saints, you know, freed up $80 million to, you know, in cap space as far as going from completely over, what was it, $53 million or something crazy like that.
$74 million,
you know, to going under and being able to make some moves there. So it has happened as far as making adjustments. Marcus Davenport, Alvin Kamara were two guys I know that you know, took adjustments to help the team get under the cap. And it's not really a sacrifice for them that you get your money now instead of later. Hey, look, I'll do that anytime, you know. But it's an interesting move. And I think this, when you look at that Titans, Nick Westbrook-Ikhinne and A.J. Brown on the top of that depth chart, that's not exactly striking fear in any opposing defenses. Now, obviously, A.J. Brown will, but, man, as it stands right now, you could double up A.J. Brown and you don't have to, you know, really worry about Westbrook-Ikhinne consistently beating one-on-one covers. Now, he will do it from time to time, as any NFL receiver worth their salt should be able to do. But, man, this really changes a lot of things, like especially the draft. At pick 26, Treylon Burks, you know, in Arkansas, from Arkansas, he now really comes into the picture. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, I talked to him about A.J. Brown and the comparisons to A.J. Brown. Here's what he had to say with that.
You know, there's some comparisons in that just by body structure, you know, how big we are, how fast we are. And, yes, sir, I've watched him along the way, along with my college career. And, you know, there's a lot of comparisons in that.
So you notice, right, you know, he watched A.J. Brown before. It would be nice to have two of those. The thing I like about Burks, he could play in that slot too, so he could, you know, give you, you know, that power slot option, get you yards after the catch. He's someone that could fall to the Titans at 26 just simply because he didn't test well. And, people are kind of jumping off that bandwagon, that train of Treylon Burks. But he's a playmaker without a doubt. So that's something. Chris Olave is another guy. You know, he is someone that, you know, is a legitimate deep threat. He learned from Brian Hartline how to be, you know, crafty with his routes and stack corners and do those things. He would be an ideal selection. I just don't think he's there at 26. But if he is, those two guys are definitely ones to consider. And I think receiver just rocketed up to the top almost of their needs. And, man, you know, the release of Julio Jones really changed this offseason program for the Titans. They want to be great around Ryan Tannehill. I think it's going to take layers of moves in order to do that. And, you know, if they could add a free agent, they could, you know, that could help. Will Fuller is an intriguing option, but, you know, this guy is like, a high-end sports car where, hey, look, when everything's rolling, it's good, and it's a fun car to drive. But when you have an injury, that thing is in the shop, and usually in the shop for a little bit. So that would be a deal that they could do. I mean, look, you have the onslaught of Titans coming from the Texans, so that would be yet another theme. Obviously, last year he had a cup of coffee with the Dolphins, but that's another option. I just think, man, I like that this happened right here with the show so that way we could get instant reaction to it, first thought process on it. I thought John Robinson had some interesting words in regards to Julio Jones at the Combine. It didn't necessarily mean that he was going to be cut, but it made you think. You know, when John Glennon asked him about Julio Jones, and he said it looked like we were headed in the right direction and then had some setbacks along the way. He kind of had that hamstring, and unfortunately he wasn't out there enough to really make an impact week after week. When he was out there, he helped our football team. And Robinson mentioned how he was one of the first in the building and really aggressively pushing to get back out there. But it was one of those things that seemed like a nick every week that we were trying to work through. As far as looking at a player, an aging player, and weighing that versus the balance of the contract, he said that's a balance that you always work through as players' careers start to get a little longer. You see some things and wonder if that was an isolated instance or is this going to be a repetitive thing. For the Titans in 2021, it was a repetitive thing, and now you have the team moving on from Julio Jones. Wow. Wow is a word you're going to hear a lot because that's really all I could say, you know, as far as reacting to that. And I tell you, the offseason has changed. You know, you got all these teams making these moves and the Titans, you know, we'll see. Teams don't win Super Bowls in the offseason. So they prepare to win them. But, I mean, the team that's the loudest in the offseason doesn't always win. So I say that to tell Titans fans, hey, look, man, you know, get off the pedestrian bridge, the Korean Veterans Bridge. Don't go over there and jump. The season's not over yet. I know you have some of the local folks that will you know, try to put you on that bridge and tell you to jump. I'm telling you, don't jump. Let things play out and see how it works. And, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We're going to come back. We'll get Chris Sanders, get his reaction as well. I'm sure he'll be just as equally shocked. And, by the way, stay tuned. We're going to finish this thing up with Malik Sanier, safety out of Midwestern State. And that's going to be a great interview as well. So definitely check that out as the draft sleeper series continues. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Ooh, I need some strings, man.
Oh, man.
All right. The music dims. The silence is killing me, but here it comes. And now... starting for your Atlanta Hawks, at center, number 30, Tree Rollins.
Are you crazy? And now, starting in the color purple, Danny Glover.
Woo-wee. You could have at least picked the light-skinned dad, you know what I mean, to kind of resemble me. What'd he say? Maybe even sweep out the caboose. Speaking of sweeping out the caboose.
I know.
My goodness.
My goodness.
Diana Rossini, ESPN's Diana Rossini, reports that the Titans are likely to release Julio Jones. Now, my first thought was, good Lord have mercy. Wow. This is a case of feeling as though you made a mistake.
Right.
And adjusting immediately.
Yeah, but even it's kind of a surprising but not surprising. Does that make sense?
Like, it does.
Like everybody knows that Julio Jones is a Hall of Fame player. But when you only catch between 30 and 40 balls running over 500 yards, I don't think that they were wanting that. I'm thinking they're looking at a 1,300-yard receiving guy with 8 or 9 touchdowns, and they didn't get that. So I think that they're jumping to say, you know what, we can't keep paying this guy this amount of money and him not being productive.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's tough, man. Woo, that's tough. I mean, it's just mind-boggling because I don't know. It's just wild, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really wild. And that's all I can say. Yeah, I'm stunned. I think if they do that, it will have to be a post June 1st designation. That's where they'll save the $9.5 million. So that means that they're going to have to do a lot of things. If they go out and make a move in the receiver free agency market, which I think you absolutely have to do now.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to reduce some deals to open up more money with the understanding that 9.5 will come into effect after June 1st. That will help them as far as signing draft picks are concerned, right? And just filling out, you know, other parts of the roster. But, man, like, this is going to require a whole lot of wow. That's all I can say is wow. So I guess looking at this What's this say about the draft? I mean, tell me at 26, you know, what are you doing?
It's important. I mean, it just shows you that this number 26 pick is going to be huge, because at the end of the day, everybody talks about the Tennessee Titans need a tight end, that they need an offensive guard because Saffold is gone, and then a running back because Foreman is not there. You got to go get a receiver now, because you're letting Julio Jones go, and you need an impact player. Some of the impact players in the draft we talked about, you know, in the show's past is Chris Olave, Wilson Garrett, Sky Moore, you know, Dotson from Penn State. So if one of those guys are available, I think you got to go get one of those guys, because I know we can get in free agency wise. And I know we talked about it off the air. You said Allen Robinson and Juju Schuster, those guys like that. But still, you still got to get some receivers, because if you look at the cover of wide receivers, it's really bare right now.
Yeah, it is really bare. I mean, you got, Nick Westbrook Ikhine is your number two, and I understand, like, you know, he's a guy that came along, and he was a good, you know, number three. But, hey, man, like, it changes. The demands change when your roles change. So, man, I tell you what. I mentioned Allen Robinson. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that you have to look at. Jarvis Landry comes into play. But, I mean, Jarvis Landry, when he left the Dolphins, right, he said he never heard from Ryan Tannehill, and he said it was probably because they didn't have a good relationship. Mm. Now, I understand releasing Julio Jones doesn't exactly make it great around Ryan Tannehill, but I think it would make not much sense to bring in a guy who is on record saying he didn't have a good relationship with your quarterback. You know, this is interesting.
But see, here's the thing, though, TD. I understand Landry's a good player, but we need some speed, man. We got to get a speed guy, a guy that can take the top off the difference. I understand that A.J. Brown, you know, made some plays downfield, but we got to get another receiver that poses a deep threat. And I know Landry has got decent speed, but he's going to catch those digs. He's going to catch those curls and do things like that. But we got to get somebody that takes the top off the defense. And I don't know if Juju can do that. Juju's a little older in year. He had a hurt shoulder last year. So even though that sounds sexy, I just think that you got to make sure that this guy comes in and plays great right away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, looking at this group of free agent receivers, I don't know what this team does. I mean – first off, you have the Christian Kirk, just like the Jaguars just resetting the receiver market.
Man, they are.
So A.J. Brown, you know, that's he's going to break the bank next year.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, so you look at Allen Robinson, Juju, A.J. Green, like, no. This is really interesting. Will Fuller, do you bring him in? Do you bring in DeSean Jackson? What do you do?
I don't know. I mean, Will Fuller is a great player, but you got to be available on the field. You can't consistently be hurt. I mean, when he was with the Texans, everybody, he'll make some plays, but then the next week he's out with an ankle or a shoulder. You can't control that. But you can't have the same situation, go out and get a guy like that, because you're going to run into the same situation that you had in with Julio Jones. Great player, Hall of Fame player. But if he's not available to be in the field, you're just going to put another guy in the field.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's wow.
What is going on? But here's the deal, you know. I know we're talking crazy, and I know we're saying a lot of stuff, and we're kind of confused. But you better believe that Mike Vrabel and Jay Rob got a plan. They have a plan. They're not just going to get rid of him and say, okay, we'll just bring a guy in. They are eyeing somebody to come in and replace Julio Jones.
Yeah, they definitely are eyeing somebody to do it. The question is, who is it?
Who
look at Allen Robinson. Now? So I'm on spot track right now. And, I mean, we're going to focus more on the free agents for a second. Then we'll get into the draft, because I know there's some guys. 4 years, the market value is 4 years, $65 million. Average salary, 16. Like, I don't think you could do that. I don't think you could do that. Jarvis... Yeah, this is a really interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
any of those names, do they stick out?
Robinson sticks out, but I mean, you're going to have 16 million. Look, Christian Kirk, dadgummit, let's talk about this. Christian Kirk, 4 years, $72 million, an average of 18. Now, the deal essentially is a 2 year, $39 million deal.
I'll take it.
what I listen, I don't know. I pay 19.5 per year for Christian Kirk, but no, you know.
But see, I mean, I understand that he got paid, but is he that good of a receiver? Is he one of the top 15 receivers?
No, that's my point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if so, he's a top 15 receiver, I'm going to get him. But I don't think he is, and I say that respectfully.
I wonder why, you know, DJ Chark, he signed with the Lions.
One year,
$10 million.
Like, come on, man.
But 1 year, $10 million, can you not do a two-year, you know, $22 million type of deal, have 17 guarantee? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He isn't a top 10 guy, but neither is Julio Jones. But he's a veteran that you could rely on to come in and give you production. And you talk about a vertical guy. I mean, he's a big vertical receiver.
Yeah.
I am at a loss for words. I really don't know exactly what this team is doing. So you got that, and then on top of that, you know, they gave up the second round pick to get him. Yeah, this team is kind of hamstrung. And you mentioned Sky Moore, Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. These are guys, frankly, that I think the second round is probably where you're gonna see them go. You know, or maybe high third. So now, you know, the Titans, we talked before about how, okay, it could be a guard, it could be a tackle. It almost has to be a receiver in this draft. And you really hope, as the Titans, they really have to hope that, you know, Olave falls down there. Traylon Burks is a guy that, if they could bring him in, I think that's an ideal match. You know, now you have essentially two A.J. Browns, right?
Yeah.
You know, they could bring him in, and he told me that A.J. Brown is the guy that he watched. So you do have that, but I'm not exactly sure what direction they should go. Man, it's something else.
But see, the thing about it is, we talked about it earlier, that like even if they didn't get a wide receiver the first round, they still can kind of get away with it because you got a two-headed monster with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. But then now the Tennessee Titans got to get a tight end, they got to get an offensive guard, they got to get a quarterback, they got to get a running back. So what happens if the quarterback that you love is there, but then Olave's there or Garrett is there, what do you do? So those are the questions that are going to be asked in the war room, because I'm going to tell you something, that we talked about this off air. If Olave's sitting at 26, if Garrett is sitting at 26, if Dotson's sitting at 26, I'm doing a long jump, a triple jump, a pole vault to the podium to go get one of those guys, because I believe that one of those guys can come in and replace Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I don't know. See, I really think Traylon Burks is a guy you got to look at even more intensely, honestly. And Olave could play on the outside. Let's not get this thing twisted. He could play on the outside. So I think, you know, Burks and Olave, those are the guys that you really have to look at. And it's just without Jones in the picture, I think that puts Burks in there just as much as Olave, because you need that guy that could be a big body on the outside for you. I'm stunned by this move. I thought about it, but I didn't think it would actually happen. And good gracious, man.
Yeah. But see, the thing about it is, Jared laughed at me earlier. I said they're gonna cut. No, Derek and Mark Howard laughed at me. I said they're gonna cut Julio Jones. They're like, oh no, there's no possible way. And I told you, because the thing about it is I know the salary cap and everything, but I think they looked at the production. They looked at how many times, you know, he's been hurt consistently and not being available on the field. So I think that was one of the main pieces of why they let him go. But at the end of the day, your offensive receiving room is bare. You have Westbrook. I think Rodgers is gone, and you don't have any guys or impact players to come in and be a complement to AJ Brown. So I mean, it's a tough deal, but at the end of the day, J. Rob and Mike Vrabel have a plan. So we're just hoping that comes out right.
I guess we'll see what happens. You know, good thing the check's cash regardless, win, lose, or draw. So, you know, my Lord, I'm glad it's not dependent upon the win. But the team being successful definitely helps page views and listens and et cetera. So you do want the team to be somewhat successful. But, man, oh, man, what a move. Julio Jones, 33 years old, and he'll be 34 in February. So he just turned 33.
Man.
Young, you know, by life standards,
yeah.
And apparently old by football ones. And this is just crazy, a move, man. Chris, that I haven't been floored in a long time. The last time I was this shocked by a Titans move, it was Jarrell Casey. And ironically, that one saved $11.5 million. This one saved $9.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. But I want to piggyback, not piggyback, but I want to say something to really be the devil's advocate on this one. Is maybe Julio Jones went to them and said, would you release me?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I want to be careful with what I say, because in me and your eyes, we're like, man, why would they do that? Why would J-Rob do that? Why would Mike Vrabel do that? But maybe Julio Jones went to them and said, you know what, I just need to get a fresh start again. And you just never know, because we're not in that room. So, you know, at the end of the day, Julio Jones is not going to be here. They got to go make some picks in the draft, find somebody to come in to be an impact player right away, and go from there. So that's what they got to do.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll see. The next episode of Getting Greater Around Ryan Tannehill continues. This latest is not really something that we would look at as being great around them, but we'll see what happens. They obviously know better. Chris, I appreciate you coming on.
Always,
and,
bro.
And making this happen. So we'll continue, and we'll see what happens next week.
Let's go. Appreciate you, Doc.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Hey, man, every year, you know what we do. We drop a couple sleepers on you. Obviously, safety is a position that the Titans will be looking at, free agency, the draft. So I got a sleeper for you. His name is Malik Sanier out of Midwestern State. Got to meet this young man in person. Very, very good size. Fun to watch. Malik, what's going on, man?
Going good. What's going on?
Hey, nothing much, man. I'm chilling. I appreciate you coming on. I know we got to talk in Houston, and this is something that we've been discussing doing, so I'm glad we could make this happen. I guess we'll just start. All right, so Midwestern State is where you completed last year. Can you just kind of take me through your path just going from high school up to Midwestern State?
After my senior year of high school, I didn't really no coaches were really showing any interest coming to the school. I guess our high school coach wasn't really trying to push the college narrative onto the seniors and stuff like that. So we were all kind of stuck. So I ended up going to Northwestern State. It was my only option. Went there for 3.5 years, played corner over there. I felt like it was in my best interest to leave, go to a spot where I was going to be valued more and play the position that I felt like I was more comfortable at, where I can showcase more of my talents. So I decided to leave, and then COVID happened. So all the schools that were looking to offer me weren't really showing any more interest because they didn't know if we were going to have a season or not, and Midwestern kept pursuing me. So I didn't want to wait and sit at home, so I just decided just to sign it and head to Midwestern.
Yeah, well, that's what's up. And I like that you say you played corner as well, which is something that obviously will add to your versatility. So let's get into that a little bit, just as far as, like, your cover ability as well as your tackling, because I know that's something you like to come up and do, help out in the rushing attack. Now, what makes you a versatile player, you know, able to go back and forth, corner to safety, and the different things you do?
I mean, when I played corner, we were basically a man defense. Everything that we did was man. So I feel like anywhere I play in the secondary, I can match up with any receiver with my size and my speed and just my man coverage history. I feel like, I mean, you could put me anywhere. I can play at corner at any time. I play in the slot, nickel, or I can play at high safety, and I feel like it would give me an advantage over, you know, some people that are in the draft that only play one position. I can play all five.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I think that's, you know, the value of versatility right there. Who are some of the, you know, as you look back, who are some of the receivers you remember going against that, you know, you feel as though gave you a good challenge?
Obviously, I played against, you know, the SEC schools when I was at my time at Northwestern State. We played against LSU, the national championship team, and played against Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall and those guys. I feel like Terrace Marshall was pretty much my top receiver that I went against in my college career.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And he's a guy that went on to the next level and played well. What stood out about matching up against him?
Just on that level, you notice playing at the D2 level, FCS level, and FBS level, you can tell the difference in the skill position. The guys, like, they don't waste time in their routes. Everything is a timing situation. I realized that when I played against, the SEC schools, those guys, their timing is, like, professional. It's to a T. Unlike the FCS level and the D2 level, those guys, they do stuff just to get open, and it doesn't really fit their offense. When you play against a team like LSU, those guys are with each other all the time. Their timing is down packed, and everything is. They don't waste time. So, like, I feel like with Terrace Marshall and Justin Jefferson and those guys, they ran the route that was needed. They did all the moves that they needed to make, and it wasn't any wasted movements. That's the big thing that I noticed with them.
I like those observations, and that tells me that you are a cerebral football player, and we did talk about that in Houston. I think that's important to allow these listeners and to understand, right, how much the cerebral aspect, that approach to football is for you. Let's get into that a little bit. How did you develop, that football acumen, the ability to study the way you do and just, interpret the game the way that you can as a DB?
Well, growing up, I grew up in an athletic family, so I had older cousins who played college football on the defensive side, so they taught me a lot. I've watched them a lot. Everything I did growing up was just watching football. Like, I didn't really spend my time watching too many other things. I always watched football, studied the game from a young age, and watching my cousins growing up playing, I just picked up on little things that I noticed, how the game was changing. I felt like the more I studied on my own and realized that I can change, I can, adapt to the game on my own, I felt like that would give me an advantage, every time I step on the field. So I would say just watching and adapting to what my cousins were doing and, trying to better what they were doing and notice things that they were doing wrong that I can do better, and them telling me what I need to do, I just apply that to my game.
No, that's a really good take. And we're talking to Malik Sanier, Midwestern State safety. I just call it DB because he could play some corner, too, if you want him to, drop down and match up. You talk about the mental part of it, but I think, one thing, especially as a DB, you have to be able to do is process that and still play fast. So for you, how have you been able to do that? Is that something that you feel that you do well?
No, I feel like I've always said my football IQ is pretty high, so picking up on the game is always easy to me. At the end of the day, no matter what level you play off, football is the same sport that you played since you were 5 years old, so nothing's really different. I mean, I know the game speed is going to be a little bit different when I get to that level, but at the end of the day, football is football. Just the terminology and the play calling is different, so at the end of the day, I just got to realize that there's only so much you can do with the defense, and you got to go out there and, execute what those coaches are wanting you to do and just play fast and just believe in, your ability.
Now, talking to Rodney Ardoin, your agent, he said that, you're expected to really test well at Pro Day. Where are you training right now?
Right now I'm training in Katy, Texas with Kerry Bennett.
Gotcha. And who are some of the other guys? I know who he's worked with, but my listeners don't. Who are some of the other guys that he's worked with?
That he's working with right now in the same group or just in the past?
Past guys. So they know the caliber of trainer that you're working with.
He's trained and training Mike Evans, Antonio Gibson. He's there. There's a whole bunch of NFL guys. The guys that's in the NFL now that come back, after our group is over with, they're in there all the time. Those are just, some two top names I can come up with right now. But, his record speaks for itself with the guys that he trains with.
Without a doubt. And, Malik, who are some of the guys that are other draft prospects that you're working with?
Right now I have three other people that I'm working with, a running back from U of H, Mo Bakar, receiver, Kevin Reynolds from Texas A&M Kingsville, and then a running back, Savion, from Kingsville as well.
Nice, nice. And getting back to the pro day, when is your pro day, and what do you think is going to stand out among other things when you get that done?
Pro day for me is next Wednesday, the 23rd. I feel like the big thing that's going to shock a lot of people, I mean, it's going to be the opening test, you know, the bench press. I'm hoping to get close to 30 as I can. I feel like that's going to shock a lot of people. But then at the end of the day, the 40 is the big test, and that's what I'm looking forward to running.
Are you going to sub 4.4?
Yeah, I'm at a 4.4 already. So
okay, wait, and you're 6'2". What do you weigh now? 210?
I'm 206, 207 right now.
Okay, 6'2", 207, 4.4. I think that's pretty good range. And when is the pro day, and where is it?
Pro day is next Wednesday, March 23rd at Texas A&M Commerce.
Nice.
Conference pro day.
Nice, nice. Well, Malik, I appreciate you coming on. Just before we get you out of here, I definitely want you to have an opportunity to tell whatever team drafts you what they would get. Like what comes with Malik Sonier when a team drafts you or signs you?
They're gonna get the most versatile DB in the draft. They're gonna get the hardest worker, the smartest, always willing to work. Football, you know, comes first to me. You're gonna get a hard worker. My goal is to win as many Super Bowls as I can and go down as the greatest safety of all time. So that's my motto, and that's what I look forward to.
I really love that approach. Go ahead, you got more. Go ahead.
No, that's just my motto. That's it. That's what I live by. So
I love it. I love it. Well, Malik, man, keep up the good work, and we'll definitely get in touch after these numbers are concerned. I'm gonna get you back on here and just tell everybody, you know what I'm saying, how you like me now.
How you like me now?
No, I'm talking about after you go ahead and you test, you know what I mean? We'll get you back on.
Yeah,
and that's when you tell them, you know what I mean? So, real quick. So a couple games to watch. I want to get into that just real quick so you can let the listeners know, you know, so I could tell them what would be the best games. What would you feel are the best opportunities where you showcase yourself?
Well, I feel like my best game at safety, you have to go watch the Tarleton game, Tarleton State. We played them this past year. I feel like that was my game where I showed the most, coming downhill, playing the ball. And then at corner, I guess you can watch the LSU tape. I played corner against LSU that whole entire game. So that would be a good game to watch.
I like that. And Malik is a guy that – he feels his ability to play the safety position is kind of reminiscent of a pretty good player in Harrison Smith, the Viking safety. So I'm glad your lofty comparisons. And, man, I wish you the best in coming in and being able to show exactly what it is that you could do, man. Let's keep in touch.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, for sure. So that was Malik Sonier out of Midwestern State. Definitely a pleasure talking some shop with him. Man, a versatile player that would definitely be able to help an NFL team. We'll see what the Titans do from that perspective. There's a lot more perspectives. We have to see what the Titans do from. So the receiver position, the tight end position, the offensive line position. Great being able to talk a little shop with Chris Sanders coming on, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk shop with you guys as well and girls. And we'll just see how they continue to work out. Until then, I'm Teron Davenport. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out on Google Podcasts, iTunes, all the places, Apple, everywhere. Where else can we? Spotify as well. Can't forget Spotify. Get all those in there. Rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.